Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Joining me today is Jeff. Jeff, how are you doing?
Much more alert than yesterday.
Good. Good. So I had to check my mic, so we're restarting this again. But, yeah, we're currently driving on a highway, 81 north, through Tennessee to...
Are you trying to be a robot right now?
Yes. turn right onto 81. No, so we're on 81, and we're going to Richmond, through Richmond to Williamsburg right now.
Yes.
So we got a long-ass drive. But before, while we're doing a long-ass drive, and before we did the long-ass drive, we went to Dollywood.
And met the Dalai Lama.
Womp womp. Actually, I wish they did have a llama there. They didn't have a llama. Or we didn't see a llama, let's put it that way.
No llamas, just no eagles. Llamas. Just and other animals. Majestic birds.
Yeah. So, this morning, our hotel room yesterday had this, like, crazy weird shower that was, like, completely new. It felt like it was, like, 3 months old. And it was, like, a completely woodsed out, kind of really nice shower. And it included one of those, like, waterfall heads that made it feel like you're, like, showering... in, like, the Amazon under a waterfall.
But the room still had physical keys.
Yeah.
And not key cards.
Yeah, it was really
bizarre. But it has a nice waterfall shower.
Yeah.
And flat screens.
Yeah, go figure. But, so that was cool. And then we went to pancakes in the morning for a good breakfast buffet.
Nice pancake breakfast buffet.
They gave us a good discount
on
it.
Across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the place called?
I think
Flappies or whatever.
Randy's or something like that.
Yeah, Randy's.
It was really good. Delicious. Solid pancakes. We got the...
Poppin' fresh.
We upgraded our... We upgraded to the buffet. So, it was like $5 to upgrade. Heck yeah. So, like, for $10, we basically had, you know, we had bacon and sausage and eggs and...
And a pile of pancakes.
And a pile of pancakes and fruit.
Which
and
is just my what my bowels perfect. Needed.
Exactly. Clean it right through. And then we went to Dollywood. So, Jeff, you went to Dollywood last year.
I did.
How?
It was much, 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 much more crowded last year.
Yeah.
Because I went on a random Saturday during the summer. Not a good idea. But going on a Monday before Memorial Day, very good idea.
Yes, it was a very good idea. So, we started off, we got to Dollywood, had a good time, not many people there. We went to... What was the first ride we did?
Well, we tried to go on Lightning Rod.
And that hilariously broke down.
Right, as soon as we got to the end, the entrance, the queue entrance.
Yeah.
We saw everyone evacuating.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that's really
Lightning Rod being Lightning Rod. So, that was that.
And then we went to the fire... the kids ride.
Yeah, I'm looking up all the ride names because I just realized I don't remember many of the ride names for some odd reason.
Fire truck?
Yeah. Hold on. I got it.
Although it should be said that...
It's the Fire Chaser Express. It is a wooden... It's a steel coaster that is basic. It's built by Intamin. And it starts off with a launch out of the station... through a little turn and up a lift hill, and then you go around this. It's quite involved layout.
You're 80 feet in the air too.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
really high up. You're going through a lot of a lot of movements and stuff, a lot of
dips
and
yeah.
And then you enter a gas station slash
basically the Italian Job backlot coaster done right.
Yeah, kind of. So instead of you enter the gas station slash fireworks factory, and then there's
which has not only fireworks but also propane tanks.
Yeah,
for some reason.
So they then the fire starts spreading in the building you're in, and then this giant rocket lights and falls over and shoots you out backwards out of the building, and then you go through some backwards moments, and then you back into the station like a real fire truck, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
And
that's
thus begins
so fantastic.
Thus begins our crazy fascination with fire at Dollywood.
Yes. There are many themes at Dollywood, one of them being fire.
Yeah.
Dollywood really likes fire.
Dollywood loves fire. Everything was great. The theming was great in that area. I liked the... an actual theming, not just, like, decoration. They had a great load station, a lot of cool stuff. Ops were, like... we sat down and dispatched in 15 seconds.
On that, yeah. That, they had, I had four, count them, four loaders.
Yeah.
For a kid's coaster.
Yeah.
Four loaders. Plus the control tower.
Yeah. So that was nuts. After that, we went on Wild Eagle. Was it Wild Eagle?
Is it Wild Eagle or Flying Eagle?
Let me check. Wild Eagle.
Wild Eagle.
It's Wild Eagle. We... yeah, so we went on Wild Eagle, and that's the B&M wing coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that has probably one of the most beautiful stations I've ever seen.
And the queue area, too.
And the queues. It's all...
arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts style stuff. The arts and crafts movement.
It has its own themed background music. It has, like, majestic posters of eagles just looking eagle-ish and looking like they're about to, you know, rule the land as they do.
Yes. So that was super cool, and the ride was good. A lot of fun. Not as good as, like, Gatekeeper or something, but it was still really, really solid. Mm-hmm. They were dispatching at a decent pace.
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the themes, too, at Dollywood is that everything seems to be in a ravine or a hill of some kind.
Yeah.
That seems to be, like, hidden from the ride, from the walking paths. So Lightning Rod, Tennessee Tornado, Mystery Mine, obviously, Blazing Fury, obviously, mm-hmm. Wild Eagle, or Flying Eagle, or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Practically everything is, like, hidden from the walking paths.
Yeah.
From the common areas.
So then after that, we did Mystery Mine. And when we were waiting in line for Mystery Mine, it started downpouring.
As they said, it turned into a water ride.
Yeah, it turned into a water ride. Mystery Mine was fine. I liked a lot of the theming elements and the background and the story.
I feel like the whole thing could have been indoors, though.
Could have been, yeah.
Like, I don't think they would have lost anything.
The only problem is... yeah, the only problem is that it just hurts. That coaster hurts.
Yeah.
A lot.
You're not having kids, gents.
No, well, I mean...
if you ride that thing.
Well, it's not the balls, it's the head.
And the head.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the balls with me.
Oh, for me, it was just the getting smacked around in the head with the restraints. You know,
but it has two vertical lifts, one of them highly themed.
Mm-hmm.
To a... what was trying to drop on you?
It was like the top of the tower. The tower was collapsing.
Okay, yeah. So the tower, they had a screen. So you're going up a vertical lift, and at the top of the vertical lift is just a screen, and the screen had an animation of the tower, right?
Yeah.
The tower, like, collapsing.
In a rainstorm. Yeah, with lightning and everything. Yeah,
how ironic.
Yeah.
We were just in a rainstorm. And along with everything else at Dollywood, lots of fire.
Yeah.
lots of burning lamps and lights and all that stuff. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and the beginning of the ride is very reminiscent to Revenge of the Mummy. So we were providing our own Revenge of the Mummy soundtrack through the first couple turns.
Which is funny.
Yeah, that was very appropriate.
Apropos.
Mm-hmm.
So that was okay. It was just real rough and weird. But I liked it, otherwise.
Some really interesting inversion elements at the end there, too.
Yeah. So it just kind of drops, and then it bounces around a little bit, and then you get the next inversion. Then you get the next vertical lift, and it's the holding lift with the fire effects, and then you get barrel roll.
Oh, those fire effects were legit.
Yeah.
So they hold you at the top of the second vertical lift, the themed one. They hold you at the top of the lift, and then you're in a darkened area, and all of a sudden, just fire just starts shooting, like, 5 feet from your face.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Big Thunder Mountain, except with, like, actual flamethrowers.
So, that was good. After that, we then went to... we went to Thunderhead.
Thunderhead, yeah.
Thunderhead. That was surprisingly good. I enjoyed that one a lot. Mm-hmm. That was made by GCI, as we thought.
2004 GCI.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was rough, but it was a good kind of rough, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It was a speedy, aggressive kind of rough.
Yeah.
Rather than a I'm just falling apart kind of rough.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, Mean Streak and Grizzly is just a I'm falling apart kind of rough.
Yeah.
But this is, like, an aggressive, like, I'm rough because I'm serious.
I'm rough because I can. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm rough because I'm an eagle.
Ah!
Do whatever I want.
So after that, we went to... I'm looking through the whole entire list here.
We went to Tennessee Tornado.
Yeah, we did Tennessee Tornado, which is the, the first Alan Shickley designed ride at Dollywood, which, it's an aero looper not like any other aero looper I've been on, in that it's not the same old weird drop.
Plus two loops. Plus two corkscrews.
A weird drop, then you go up a bit, then you get two...
Then you go through the tunnel.
Two loops, and then you kind of come up, and you do a slow turn around after you, like... And
these,
then you go down.
Were, I guess, loops, but they were, like, inverted loops.
Yeah, they were huge loops. Huge loops. They had transition elements and turning elements that were on their sides, similar to an RMC coaster. Mm. Not like an Intamin, which would, like... level out, and then, you know, you do a bank turn, for the right. best way to put it. and then it was a fun ride. I really enjoyed it. And it was surprisingly well done, and I think it's definitely, it's for a coaster fan and a historian, anyone needs to go out there and ride that ride, because it's one of the last aero coasters built. Around that time.
Right, yeah.
It was built in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So that... Really late to the game.
Yeah, they were late to the game, but also... It's kind of like Fury in a way. That Fury is not like any other B&M coaster.
Mm-hmm.
This is like no other aero.
Yeah. It's the most
looper.
Unique aero looper.
Yeah.
You've been on.
Yeah, definitely. So that's a great ride. After that, we went to the Bird Show.
What was it called? Eagles in Flight or something like that?
Eagles in Flight or something like that. It was a bird show about birds of prey.
Yeah, so we were walking past the giant eagle enclosure.
Yeah.
That they have in Dollywood.
Eagles, they said? Or 18 eagles?
15
eagles.
Which they also have a holding pen area for these birds, where you can actually go up and you can read the little plaques and,
mm-hmm.
and look at the birds of prey that they have there. But yeah, we were literally just walking past, and we noticed that the arena was almost full, and we looked at the show time, and we only had 5 minutes till the show started, so we decided just to walk in and see the show. Good thing that we did, because about 10 minutes after the show started, it started to pour.
Like, unexpectedly pour. Like,
yes.
People weren't, like, I was looking at my app, I'm like, oh, it's not gonna rain today. Well, guess what? It poured a lot.
Uh-huh.
So it was downpouring, and people were trying to sneak in and be weird about it, which I always hate, because it's like, be cool, guys.
And, like, awkwardly stand in the back just because it's undercover.
Yeah. But we saw a bunch of cool birds. They had vultures, they had hawks, they had
so this show
a bunch
is,
of good stuff.
This show is based solely on birds of prey.
Yes.
So...
You're not going to get a macaw.
Yeah.
You're not going to get you're not going to get a crane. Like Niles or what's his face?
Frasier.
Yeah, Frasier.
Not a Frasier crane.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of the cranes. You're not going to get anything else like that. The only bird they had that was not a bird of prey was like the bird from Africa that could like take the money. Remember?
Oh yeah, what was that? Do you remember?
I forget kind, but I think they had that at the Animal Kingdom show too. But instead of like giving donations,
so the bird sits on the donation box, mm-hmm. and people you hand the bird your dollars, and the bird takes the dollars and just dumps it in the donation box,
which is great,
which is adorable, which is just the most adorable thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this show had quite a lot of birds. It had two different kinds of falcons, two different kinds of owls, two different kinds of hawks, and then the eagle.
Yeah.
So they were, and every time one of the, they did one and, kind of bird at a time.
Yeah.
And then when they announced the bird, a random door, like a little trap door in the stage somewhere would open up, and this bird would just fly out of the trap door.
Yeah.
And, like, the trap doors were everywhere. Like, it wasn't just, like, one specific place. There were trap doors, like by the windows on the side of the theater. There were trap doors, like, in the fake prop tree on stage. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great.
And the birds actually, so they have two hosts for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Two narrators. And they would sort of walk in tandem up the two main aisles, and the birds would fly in between the two hosts. So the birds would literally, like, soar right above the heads of anyone sitting in the middle section,
mm-hmm.
which was terrifying for anyone under 10 years old. They were really scared, but
yeah,
that was cool.
Super cool. A bunch of owls, hawks, all sorts of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. That was a really entertaining show. I'm happy we did that, especially when it started raining.
Yes, especially when it started pouring.
So then we chilled there for a little bit to let the white rain pass. And then we went to...
Blazing Fury.
Blazing Fury, which is their indoor powered
train
coaster dark ride thing.
Coaster? You really can't call it a coaster.
Oh, you can. I call it a coaster. Why not?
It's a train with two little drops. Tiny little drops.
But, it's electrically powered through the inclines like a lift hill. And then you have a coasting part at the end. It's considered a coaster.
I guess.
Like, it's a coaster. Make no mistake about it. So... there's indoor ride segments. There are themed elements. There's a crazy two-story tall, like, fountain scene.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, ravine.
Like a ravine with a waterfalls.
Yeah, with a pool. Like a little pool on the bottom of a waterfall and rocks
yeah.
and stuff like that. Just randomly. Like, yeah. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
It was just this beautiful scene.
Indoor scene, yeah.
Yeah. And these scenes are just... hilarious.
Hilariously bad and hilariously hilarious.
Hilariously bad. Everything is like a wax figure that just sort of bobs side to side, while there's like really scratchy AM radio quality narration around it.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Like the water effects are just blue lights. Literally, like there was supposed to be a guy with a hose trying to put out a fire. Mm-hmm. But the water coming out of the hose were just comprised of blue Christmas lights.
But it wasn't blue Christmas lights. It was like live wire.
Okay, fine. It was live
but
wire.
It was still like
it was still hilarious.
Yeah.
Like they really couldn't have just this tiny little fountain coming out of this hose that this guy has. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's hilarious in a sort of like Noah's Ark sort of 1920s sort of way.
Exactly. So that was an interesting time, and we did that at Silver Dollar City earlier this year, but that was good. Then we did...
So we had walked into Blazing Fury,
yeah.
in part because it was right there, but also
yeah.
in part because it was still drizzling outside.
Yeah.
And Blazing Fury is indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked out, and it stopped drizzling.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked past... Joe wanted to take a glance at the log flume ride.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
I
wanted to ride it.
Right. So, and I said, hey, look, there's no line. Why don't we just do it? And, of course, Joe said, no, I don't want to get wet. So we waited for a boat to come over the final hill. It didn't look like anyone got wet, so I said I wanted to do it. Joe decided to get some Powerade.
Some water. By the way, Dollywood, $5, two bottles of water.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
For Dollywood, it's 2 for $5 bottled water, which
yeah.
is...
Or two
really
Powerades for $5.
Mm-hmm.
Or mix and match.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
So I said, okay. So I wanted to go on the log flume just to see what themed elements they have on there. So I get on. And we go through the, like, pre-show segment, if you will, before you actually get to the lift hill. There's a lot of rapids. Like, actual rapids. Like, not, like, I'm in a log flume trough, but actual, like, I'm on a rapids ride kind of rapids, which
huh.
was cool. And there was also some themed caverns slash caves, but the theming was just, like, lamps and bat's eyes. So it wasn't really impressive, but when we got to the lift hill, there were two logs stopped in front of us at the lift hill, and the lift hill chain was not going. So we're like, okay, there's some sort of delay. Mm-hmm. And then just a bunch of maintenance people came out and they evacuated us. So we didn't find out for sure what happened, but Joe said that he heard that some lady actually jumped off.
Like during the lift.
Yeah, jumped off out of the vehicle while on the lift hill because she didn't want to go down.
Which is not what you do.
Yeah, do not recommend that.
That's up there with...
A log fluoride is not going to kill you.
Also, it's up there with the breaking all the way down on an alpine coaster.
Yes, do not break all the way down an alpine coaster. You will go to a special circle of hell.
Yes.
So I got to be evac'd from the log flume at Dollywood.
Yeah.
Which is just as glamorous as it sounds. And that's when we had decided that we had done the whole back of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was time to do...
Or enough of the back of the park.
Pretty much the coasters in the back. So then it was time to do the one coaster that we did not do yet.
Lightning Rod.
Lightning Rod.
Lightning Rod. Lightning Rod. So we waited about an hour and a half for Lightning Rod.
Because?
Because there was a bunch of maintenance issues with the ride. They shut down some rows. At one point, an older lady was there, and her watch bumped into her. Like, she was wearing a nice watch, like a nicer watch, and somehow, like, she got bumped, so, like, the clasp kind of cut into her a little bit, so she was bleeding a little bit, and it was on the ride, so then they had to, like, close it, do the cleaning. So it's not really her fault or anything, it's just, you know, shit happens. But then, for some odd reason, they had a maintenance issue, too, and it was just, like, 20 or 30 minutes of us just chilling there, waiting.
Yeah, in the load station.
Waiting.
We were, like, two trains away from riding the thing.
Yeah. And then, finally, they sent everyone out, and everything was fine. So, you didn't get to ride Lightning Rod last year because of... It was down...
Because of A, it was a three-hour line.
Oof, yeah.
B, maintenance issues. So, whenever I tried to ride it... I was willing to wait 3 hours for it, but whenever I tried to ride it, it would break down.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you know, I'd be in the line for 20, 30 minutes, and they'd be, yeah, we're experiencing a delay. I'm like, nope. Goodbye.
Yep.
So, did not get to go on it last year, but...
This year, we went on it twice.
It was worth the wait.
Yeah, it's a great little ride. And by little, I mean not very little.
Yeah.
It's a great ride. I loved it a lot. The launched lift hill, my only complaint is that it felt like they toned it down. It looked like they toned it down from originally because, like, when you get over that hill, you don't get that much airtime. I was expecting way more airtime.
Yeah, it does seem to slow you down at the very top.
Yeah, which is weird. But then everything else was great. Absolutely fantastic. Little rougher than Steel Vengeance. That's just because of the topper track instead of the I-beam.
Uh-huh.
But it gives you more of a wooden coaster feel.
Yes.
I would call this a wooden coaster, but I would call Steel Vengeance a steel coaster.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of how I feel on it, because it's a wooden coaster. It feels like a wooden coaster. It's more rickety than, you know, you expect.
And this feels like a cross between a GCI and an RMC.
Yeah, exactly. But it was great fun. Is it better than Steel Vengeance? No. But I mean,
as if anyone had to ask.
Yeah, it's not. But I mean, again, it's like not many things are, if anything is. So, but that's okay because it's still a fantastic ride. And now we're in Virginia. Yay! Just crossing to Virginia. So, I really enjoyed it. I really love the ride. It blast. I do it again. We would have done it again
we
a few more
did
times.
Do it again.
Yeah, we did do it again, and we would have done it, kept doing it the rest of the night, but we had to leave.
The 30-minute delay caused pretty much half the line to just leave. So,
and the park then emptied out because a bunch of tour of school groups left.
Yes.
So the line was down to 20 minutes, and we would have done it again, But we just, it was too long. So by that time, we already invested over nearly two hours into Lightning Rod.
Yeah.
And that was a significant chunk of our day. So then we went over to the all-you-can-eat buffet place, like Aunt Lily's or whatever, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Aunt Lillian's.
Lillian's, okay. Yeah. And she was running around outside with her banjo, which
she
is
was,
weird.
She was, yes.
So then we snuck in, tried to avoid crazy pants there.
Crazy Aunt Lillian.
Yeah. And we...
Well, I'm sure means well.
So what's crazy with Aunt Lillian's is that there's next door, there's a barbecue place, like a corner kind of barbecue place, and then there's the main buffet. So we were like, we don't know about a buffet, but let's go next door. So next door, it is $9.99 for a barbecue sandwich. Then you need to spend like $3
on a side.
On fries, let's say.
Right.
Which I imagine the fries may have been big enough for us to share, but you still get the idea.
Right. And
then you need to buy a drink.
And then $3.99 for the drink.
Then you need $3.99 for a drink. So even if we split the fries, that's still like...
It's like 17 bucks.
Yeah, 15, 16 bucks.
Yeah.
Or you can get their buffet for $16.99.
Yes. So which do you think is the better deal?
So we went with the buffet, and they had a bunch of sides. So they had cream corn, they had green beans, they had roasted vegetables with potatoes and carrots and all sorts. Potatoes, carrots, green beans. Green peppers, all sorts of stuff in there. They had mac and cheese, they had Bush's baked beans, because of course they're near the Bush factory, so you need to have it. Then they also had little mini biscuits, they had fried chicken, bunch of fried chicken. Not the best fried chicken I had in my life, but for fried chicken for $16.99 at a buffet, pretty damn good.
Sitting out at a buffet at a theme park.
Not bad.
Really good. Yeah.
Then they also had freshly cut roast beef and ham. I did not have any of that. I'm not really a roast beef guy, I'm not really a ham guy. I like chicken, so I had a lot of chicken.
Yeah, I like the fried chicken.
And then they had desserts, which would have cost more if we wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And then we had drinks. So that was delicious, and had a great time with that. Then afterwards, we got cinnamon bread.
Yeah.
Which is sitting behind us right now.
Well, I had a little bit of it.
Oh, you already had some of it?
Yes.
Did it live up?
Better than cinnamon.
Oh, I mean, of course it is. Is that your first cinnamon bread?
From Dollywood, yes, but not from anywhere.
Okay, because the Dollywood one is similar to the Silver Dollar City one, which I had, and they're all amazing.
Yeah.
Cinnamon bread's so good. So, after that, we did possibly the weirdest thing I've done in a long time. Possibly one of the most bizarre things I've ever done in a long time.
And
probably one of the...
Pretty much all of the coasters at this time had like a 10-minute line.
If that.
According to the wait boards.
Everything had 0 minutes... I think one ride had 10 minutes, Lightning Rod had 20 minutes.
We said we have
Nay.
Time for one more thing.
Nay.
And you know what? Instead of all of these stupid roller coasters,
we're not gonna go back on Wild Eagle. Nay. We're not gonna go on Fire Chaser Express. No way, Jose. We're not gonna go on Lightning Rod again. No.
Nope.
Instead, we're gonna go to Chasing the Rainbow, the Dolly Parton Museum, possibly the gayest thing I've done in a very long time. It's
impressive.
It starts out, I was thinking this is going to be the lamest thing I ever saw in my life.
Yeah, so the first couple rooms, you go in.
It's like a holding area.
Yeah, in this first little room, there's this nice little lady sitting on the stool, and she watches your belongings because you're not supposed to have food or drinks in the museum.
Everyone puts their pops.
Yeah, everyone puts their drinks and their food on this little table, and you'll come back for it at the end.
Yeah.
So, and she's like, okay, everyone, you know, go up the stairs to the right. Like, okay. So you go through a couple rooms, which literally are just bare bones, bare-walled rooms with pictures of Dolly and other celebrities on them.
And it feels like a backstage area. Like,
yeah,
and that's what it's themed to,
yeah,
also.
It feels like an employee area, like on the way to the bathroom.
So, but these areas are, so there's a crowd control aspect to this ride, that this attraction they were not using. At all.
Right.
So what I felt like they did was, so this part I felt like was the holding area. Like, this is like...
Like the waiting area.
Like the waiting area. Like they only let in like 200 people. Like they let in 50 people every 10 minutes or whatever. So this is the holding area for a lot of those people with like a queue outside. And then, you know, you're just looking at pictures of Dolly with Kermit the Frog and Tim Arnold and you know, 80 appearances on the Johnny Carson
right?
show.
Larry King.
Yeah, and Larry King. Yeah. You know, it's like...
Here's Regis Philbin and Dolly.
Yeah, George Burns.
Yeah, George Burns and Dolly. Kermit the Frog and Dolly. I mean, just every single
Monica Lewinsky and Dolly.
But, so it's all those people, and then, so we're going upstairs, and then we get, go inside this fucking room that is an attic.
It's the pre-show room.
The pre-show room. So the pre-show is supposed to, like, doors open, but instead the doors were just constantly open. Sort of like how they,
sort of like the first room at the Boudin Bakery tour at California Adventure.
Yeah, kind of.
The Colin Mochrie, Rosie O'Donnell experience.
So remember in Dark Castle, May Rest in Peace Tomorrow, how they had the pre-show room that they would hold you and then they would let you in and then they turned that into a continuous walkthrough?
Yeah.
That's what they kind of did here. So the doors open and it's a giant, like, attic with, like, a standing room area, and there's just, like, all this Dolly stuff everywhere.
Props.
Like, props and awards and pictures and all this stuff. And then there's this... And then there's this giant area in the front where it's kind of like it's not even a performance area, but it's just a stage and it's an open area. And all of a sudden there's a butterfly that flies across it. And then there's
a hologram butterfly.
Then there's Hollow Dolly.
Yes, we get Hollow Dolly.
Not Hello Dolly. It's a Hollow Dolly.
Hollow Dolly.
And it's Musion Technology, Dolly Parton. Talking to you and singing at you.
And turning into butterflies.
And it was the trippiest thing. Because, first of all, they need to replace this. It's starting to get Dumbledore bad. Like, how Dumbledore was fading. Now Dolly's fading a little bit.
Poor Dolly.
But it's this really incredible thing. And I felt like they were like... after it all ended, I expected Frank Kincaid to pop out.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it reminded me of and exactly what it was. So that was that, and then we walked out, and it was very much a one man's dream situation on the second floor.
Yes.
So we're walking around, and it's like here's like kind of like the suitcase Dolly's
and
grandfather.
They go all out. Like it's just as quality as one man's dream.
Yeah.
If I were being objective.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I like one man's dream better because I'm a Walt Disney person, not a Dolly Parton person.
Yeah.
But like. The walls were painted... The walls had, you know, murals on them. And all the pictures were well lit. And there were props, and there were cutouts. And there were, you know, TVs in the walls. I mean, it was just everything. The whole thing. And there was random corner room that suddenly was themed like an outdoor backyard to a barn.
Yeah.
And they had trees... And they had, like, the fake night sky. It was so random and so well done. It was ridiculous. Like, it was just a corner little closet room.
Yeah, so... And it was showing, like, Dolly, you know, as she was growing up and, you know, the clothes that she was wearing, the homemade clothes she was wearing, and all the stuff that, you know, you normally expect. Like, oh, this is the kind of the recreation of the place, you know, the school she went to, blah, 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 blah. And then... We get around, and then it shows, like, her graduating college and going to Nashville and, you know, getting married. And all of a sudden, we turn around, and then there's Dolly Overload.
The rainbow coat.
Well, there's that, too. But then there's... It opens up, and what turns out that you thought was a linear walking tour then turns into a giant two-story atrium of... Dolly Parton-ness that you are now overlooking. And then you walk down the stairwell to the first floor of the Dolly Parton experience, and you just, and it's this whole entire freeform open area. Do you want to see Dolly's foundation about giving books? Do you want to see Dolly's, you know, the history of Dollywood? Do you want to see her, you know, like the inner, like people talking about Dolly? Do you want to see people? Yeah, like, do you want to see people talking about Dolly? Do you want to see people... do you want to see Dolly's music videos? Do you want to see Dolly's on performances on television?
There are actually televisions, interactive televisions, where you get to pick and choose what information you find about Dolly's friends.
Yes.
Like, Bill, press here for Bill something or other.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a dozen, like, per screen. A dozen different ones.
Yeah. And it was
so weird.
The gas station attendant.
Yeah, and it was amazing. So, and then it ends in this weird thing, like, it's dedicated to someone. I forget who it was off the top of my head. But it was such a weird experience, and this Powerade bottle, like, there's a shit ton of water in it still. I don't know why.
Yeah, because it was an ice.
I know it was an ice, but now it's, like, everywhere. Okay, I'm going to clean this up. So, but yeah, it was an incredibly weird and cool experience, and something people, like, anyone who likes themed entertainment should go check out, because it's a themed museum.
Yes.
And those are always fun. And...
and it's included in the price of admission. Yeah. Dollywood.
Yeah, and it's a great case study on how to do something like that.
You know what... so, let's talk about what we really like about Dollywood.
Yeah, sure.
So, a lot of water elements.
Holy crap. They're like, there's nothing here. Do you know what can put? A barrel with a fountain in it.
Yeah. A barrel shooting water.
Yeah. There is more fountain elements in this park than I think I've ever seen. And I'm not being... I mean, maybe a little hyperbole there. But, man, it felt like every... like 5 feet in some areas, there was just a water feature.
Well, there are water wheels that that carry water throughout an entire pedestrian area.
And then there's streams that run the whole entire area. And then there's giant fountains. And then there's like creeks. And then there's kids' water play areas. And there's just so much water at this park that it's. But it also makes it incredibly active too.
The free fall ride is in the middle of a lagoon with fountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. So, there's just water everywhere, and it makes the park feel more alive and welcoming than anywhere else. And I really, really like that.
You know what else we really liked? Was the fact that there were digital wait signs in every line.
Yeah.
To tell you how long the other lines are in the park. So as soon as you... so there's a digital wait sign, obviously, at the front of the line.
And these aren't like...
for your ride.
Whatever. And these aren't like the Universal ones that are like a 5x8 size. Mm-hmm. No, these are like 50-inch televisions with text the size of the television saying 60 minutes or something like that.
Right.
Like 60.
And and they also... so behind that is another digital screen that has... The wait, not only for your ride, but the wait times for
every ride.
The 8 biggest rides in the park, which is pretty much all of them.
And all these signs advertise downloading the app, which actually works, and they actually have correct wait times.
And there's an interactive map, you learn.
Yeah. So that was good. That's really good.
There were misting fans.
Yep.
In a lot of the walkways.
Yep. There were it's such a beautiful park. Absolutely gorgeous. One of the best looking parks. It's really it's really funny to see Carowind sandwiched by King's Dominion and this park.
And now Busch.
And then Busch. Is that these are some gorgeous parks with some gorgeous views.
Well, even Carowind's had the Camp Snoopy area, which was surprising.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the whole park.
Yeah.
So yeah, everything was good. Food was good. Entertainment we saw was good, or heard was good. Mm-hmm. The rides were good. Yeah. So that's about it. I don't know what else to say. So today, right now, we are heading towards Williamsburg, which we will be at tonight and then tomorrow night. So we will be doing Busch Gardens, Williamsburg tomorrow, and maybe maybe Wednesday, depending on how pricing works for us.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out. So we'll be doing that. I'm super excited. I have not been to that park again, also like King's Dominion, in a very, very, very long time. So I'm super excited to do that again. I'm looking forward to riding Griffin, which I've never been on. I'm looking forward to doing that VR thing for the first time. I'm looking forward to doing Verbolten, Tempesto, all those rides.
What's the wooden one called?
Invader. I haven't even done Invader. Yeah. So another one. So there's 4 coasters I haven't been on yet there. Excited to do those. I'm excited to go on the old classics like Alpengeist and Apollo's Chariot.
Loch Ness Monster,
which has new effects now, reportedly. Bunch of good stuff, so I'm super excited to do that, and I'm excited to check out Williamsburg again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something we could do Wednesday instead of go to the park, if you want.
Maybe.
We'll figure it out.
It'd be like for an hour.
Yeah, well, exactly. We would do it. But, I mean, that's all you need. You could just walk around a little bit and go, yep, this is exactly what I remember. Bye.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so we got that going on, and then we drive back Wednesday to Cleveland. Akron.
Yes.
Area.
You drive back to Akron.
Yeah. So that's going on. In addition, we will be soon going to Cedar Point and Kings Island.
So we can just pretend like that's in a continuation of this.
I guess we could, but it won't be... So we will be probably recording something like this for both those parks, I think.
Sure.
But it will be... I would still call this part of the road trip, but it's going to be separate.
Yeah.
So this will come out, like, it'll end Wednesday, and then we'll have another one Monday, and then we'll have another one maybe, like, Wednesday or Thursday or Sunday for Kings Island. And then that'll wrap up our road trip part two. And then I don't know what the heck we're going to do with podcasts for a little bit.
Well, we have to go to Kennywood and Hershey and Six Flags.
Well, yes, because you're moving to New Jersey.
I'm moving to New Jersey, and Joe is moving
to... The Garden State.
Yes.
The Garden State.
Not the movie Garden State with Zach Braff, but the actual Garden
and
State.
And I, in the most poetic way, I started this unemployment funcation with a road trip, and now I'm ending it with a road trip, as I'm accepting a job offer today to start in June. So now I have to move towards Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I'm moving to Pittsburgh. And that's going to be downsizing, finding a place with my buddy out there, and basically figuring out what the heck I'm doing and then settling down. It's going to be a small break, but we'll figure things out, and I've got to cancel the internet at my place and my DirecTV, and I need to get out my lease, and I, you know, downsize, and I have to do, you know, a bunch of stuff and pack and unpack. So I'm not quite sure exactly when we're going to get new episodes out, but we'll figure it out somehow, you know how it goes. So anyways, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, we'll see you guys later. Peace out. We'll get this up tonight. Cool?
All right.
Awesome. Peace.